Welcome, everybody, to the Aris Meyer podcast. I am joined today by a man that I used to work with in the service industry. He's a good dude. His name is Tamir. How you doing, Tamir?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Welcome to the show, man. So I met you. We were working at a restaurant. I won't say which one. And when we were working there, I would just see you in the back of the house, kind of like joking around, like having like positive energy. Yeah, yeah. I was like, the first time I ever saw you, I think you were making fun of like teasing somebody. I was like, hey, this guy's pretty cool.
That's funny, because I think when I first saw you, I kind of thought you was kind of mean. Like, not mean, but you know, you had that, I don't know, I didn't see you smile that much. So
yeah.
It was really like the exact opposite.
Yeah, I look mean. That's like at work, because you have to like, there's like a medium of like being nice to people and then kind of being in charge. So like, I'll joke around a lot, but sometimes I got to be like Mr. Tough Guy. But it's funny because I'm just a big softy. Like everybody that knows me knows.
That's what I was like, hold on for a minute, but I never think we thought we would click the way we did.
Yeah. All right, Tamir. So tell me a little about where you're from, where you grew up.
I grew up in Monrovia, California, for the most part. I mean, I grew up in Pasadena till like, I want to say maybe third grade, fourth grade, but I feel like when you grow to high school, that's where you really grow up. Like that's where you become kind of the person you're going to be for the most of your life.
Yeah.
So over to high school, man.
yeah. Cool. So you grew up going to Monrovia, and so one of the first things that when I met you, we talked about was you were fasting for Ramadan.
Yeah.
And I asked, oh, so you're Muslim? And you were like, yeah, which I thought was really cool. Cause growing up in South Orange County where I grew up, I didn't meet too many Black Muslims, or Muslims in general, I guess. But when I was young, and I think fourth, fifth grade, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X. And that was like a life-changing book for me. Because I grew up like kind of, my mom wasn't around, my dad was at work a lot. So I was like a very like vulnerable kind of kid, just like kept to myself a lot. So like people that showed like love and strength, I always appreciated. And when I read Malcolm's autobiography about how like he had this really hard life and then changed himself and became like a champion of like downtrodden people, I was like really inspired by that. So he's been one of my heroes since I'm young. But tell me what it's like. Well, did you join? Were you raised? Tell me about your life experience as a Muslim in America.
Man, actually growing up, probably until I was 20, 21, I was actually growing up raised Christian.
Okay.
But my mom was Christian, my dad was Muslim. But they had separated when I was young, so I would only see my dad once every 2 weeks, but I was mainly with my mom. So every Sunday, I still had to go to church, you know, regardless whether I want to or not.
Yeah, you don't get a choice.
Yeah, yeah. And I did. I kind of believed it, I guess you could say, but it was more like just like, all right, I'm going to church. This is the thing I'm doing. I wasn't really taking it in like that. And it's hard to explain, but I guess once I got older, when I turned like 21, because my brothers were already Muslim.
Okay.
They were first two, but they came Muslim before me. My dad was already Muslim, of course. But so pretty much I was kind of looking up to them at first, and I was like, maybe I should start reading up about this more. And then I kind of, that's when I picked up the Message to the Black Man. I had asked my other brothers, I have four brothers total, two brothers and two full brothers. So they're all Muslim. So I had talked to them, but they kind of were just like, you got to kind of read it for yourself type thing. So I just, after reading the Message to the Black Man, then I read The Theology of Time, then I read Our Savior's Arrived, then I read How to Eat to Live. It was just like, I couldn't stop. It was like, dang, this is so crazy to me. I have to keep going. And then it just made me just realize that this is what I really want, what I want my way of life to be.
Yeah. When you join, like when you decided to become a Muslim, is there something that you're supposed to do? Is there like a rite of passage, or how does it work?
No. Because pretty much the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that we're born Muslims. Like we were already born Muslim. We're born righteous people already. We've been acting against our nature. So it's only a decision you have to make in your mind to say, like, okay, this is what I am. You got to just go on with your nature, your way of life type thing.
Yeah.
So there was no type of thing that you had to do to say, like, okay, now, unless you're joining the actual nation, because you can be, like, registered into the Nation of Islam. That's a little different, but besides that, no, you don't have to do anything, really.
I see. And do you pray five times a day? Do you do, like, you know, I know that you did the fasting for Ramadan because I saw you doing it, but are you, like, a daily practicer, or is it more of just like a life empowerment, like a way to live life?
It's kind of like a way to live life, and I'm a practicer at the same time. I do have my days where I do hit my 5 days of prayer a day, then I have my days when I don't hit my 5 days of prayer a day. Nowadays, I feel like, I can't say it's not as hard to do. It's just, I guess it's the way of life. It's just the way, I don't think you need it, really. Mm-hmm. I think that's more of a, it's hard to say. I can't think of the word I want to say right now, but I don't think it's fully necessary to do prayers a day, but it puts you on that straight path, I guess you could say, if you need it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It helps you frame yourself if you need to get back on the path of, yeah. That's cool, man. Like, I could tell kind of by your personality, the more that I was around you, that there was some, you had like some underlying force, like this, like positivity, this goodness, and the way that you interacted with people, you're always cheering people up, joking. So it's obvious to me that you have something that brings that out of you. So when I found out that you were a Muslim and we kind of clicked, I was like, oh, like I see what this path brought this person. Cause the way that I grew up was a very kind of strange Eastern religion. So there's a lot of parts of me that came from that, that I directly contribute to, like, who I am as a person. So sometimes I like to look at people kind of trying to figure out, you know, like, what are their building blocks? Like, what makes this person who they are? You know, yeah. Why do crazy people wear red hats with white letters in it? You know what I mean? What brought them to that point? Everyone has their paths, you know?
Yeah,
and,
true.
Yeah. And being in a restaurant is fun because you're navigating, like, everyone's so different politically and shit, and you're just like trying to figure everybody out, you know, like, what do I say in front of this person? What do I say in front of that person?
I just like to mind my business for the most part. Just like, I don't even ask them, because I don't like, especially if it's somebody I like, I'm like, I don't want, like, oh, I don't ask who you voted for or stuff like that. So they know, so I'm already going to create tension. And
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, no doubt. It's a crazy environment, because it's like, the restaurant environment, everybody's really just kids. Like, we just graduated high school and we're supposed to, like, pretend like we're, you know, adults and that we're, like, smart, but everyone's just kind of like clicking up, having fun. Like, it's funny, man. It's its own environment. And I feel like the restaurant industry is necessary for people, because you learn, like, humility, you learn who's really in the back doing the hard work, and, like, yeah, you get yelled at sometimes. People get crazy on you sometimes. I feel like everybody should have, like, at least one restaurant job in their life.
Bro, I think it's a good thing. That should be, like, a requirement, like a school, something. You get, like, one server job or one restaurant job. You meet a lot of good, I can see, friends of all ages and all walks of life when you're in a restaurant job. Like, I can be friends with a super dude that's 80 years old. We can be super friends. It's just like that. Then I could be somewhere where somebody's, like, really young, but still be cool on that level, just because you work with them all the time. When you get to know people, it's crazy just the people you meet from this restaurant, from working at the restaurant.
Yeah, I had some formative years. My first job ever out of high school, I worked at a Kmart and a Little Caesars, bro. It was wild. Like, so people would come in and really get crazy on me for, like, a hot and ready, like, you know, yelling, throwing money, being disrespectful. And I really got to see what it was like being on the other side of the counter and taking that. And I worked with this dude. He was in his 70s, I think. He's a Mexican dude named Manuel. He was real short, real quiet, always smiling. And Manuel would just be back there slinging pizzas, cleaning, whatever, you know, whatever that anybody asked him to do. Happy, happy, happy. And one time I was like, Manuel, why are you always so happy? This is a shitty job. Like, I'm in your stressed, you know, throwing shit. I was like, why are you always so happy, bro? And he was like, because this, and he opened, he had a little coffee cup. He opened it up and he put it in my face and I smelled it. Tequila. I was like, oh, the old heads are teaching us tricks. This is
how they're lit, huh?
Yep. But yeah. But you know, that's the things you learn from older people, how to get through situations and keep on going.
Yep. That's funny.
It was crazy, dude. One of the things that I've learned about you since the years that we worked together is that you're an MC. You're a rapper. Mr. AKA is your handle. And to be honest, I've known a lot of people, you know, growing up, now that everyone can access a microphone, can access like Fruity Loops, can make beats. There's so many people on YouTube that are like artists, quote unquote, that are making music. And I've always found that it's hard to like take people seriously when they tell you they make music, because you don't ever want to hurt people's feelings. And then sometimes you'll go to their, you know, their SoundCloud or something, and you're just like, oh shit, what the fuck is this? Like, you're just like, oh, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
So like anybody else, when you told me, you're like, yeah, I make music, whoop-ty-whoop, I was like, okay, cool, I'll check it out. And then in my head, I'm thinking, oh, if this is bad, what do I do if I see him again? You know, just pretend like, you know what I mean?
That's what everybody expects kind of when you first about to show music, like, hey, yeah, I do music. Like, oh, here we go, let's play trash. All right, man. Play.
But I remember, I went to your YouTube and you have a video. It was the first one I remember. It's called Choosy, this song.
Yeah.
And I played that shit and I was really feeling it. I was like, this is not what I expected at all. Like, this is mad fun. The video is like professional. Your bars are clean. And you have like a sing-songy way that you rap, almost like Jeezy or somebody. Like, it's a very like melodic, like I really fucked with it. And I was like, oh shit, like this is I reposted it on my Facebook page. I was like, okay, like this is somebody I actually want to pay attention to what they're doing.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how you became a rapper, how you started making music.
I feel like I should have started doing music way earlier. Me and my brothers did music. They were singers in the family, so they had the music before me. So, you know, I always looked up to them, and we always made like little fun songs with each other, me and my brothers and shit like that. And I, even with the other homies, I always made like kind of like just little fun songs. I feel like I knew I could do, I feel like I knew I could like, hold on, I know I could kind of rap. I know I got a little talent. I'm like, let me try to make a song. And I did. First ones were pretty weak, but.
That's always how it is. Yeah.
But I saw the potential. So that kind of just, I just fell in love with it and just kept going with it.
Yeah. When was, do you remember the first time you ever performed in front of somebody? Like strangers, not your family.
First time I ever performed. I had so many performances. It's hard to target the first time, but.
Yeah.
I remember one of my earlier performances. I think it was like at the Four Dimension is?
Yeah, I do. In Monrovia on the main street.
Yeah. I had up there, and that was pretty cool. It was in front of like a lot of old friends and some strangers too.
Yeah. What was it like? Did you like, were you nervous or were you just like feeling the vibe? Or what was it like for you?
Definitely nervous. Like the first 5 to 10 performances, I was nervous a lot of times. Like, I said, all right, come on, man. Don't mess up. Just sometimes I was like, okay, let me drink a little bit and try to loosen up.
Still,
times where I messed up my words and stuff went wrong. Like one time at the Four Dimensions, for some reason there's other performers, when I performed, they had a live band kind of on my, but I didn't know that was going to be a live band. So just started, and while I was doing the beat, I was like, wait, what the hell? This isn't. And I had to kind of just keep performing. And then I was like, after that, I was talking to the venue, the dude was like, oh, just, we were testing out the band. I was like, why was you testing out on my?
I'm surprised you didn't fuck that dude up.
It was just like,
that's disrespectful, dude.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And that time where I was on a mic and then they cut off mid song. Cause they said it was in our time, we were out of time. I was like, wow,
dude.
Dude, this is crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure you brought a crowd in. Like they came to see you. They're buying drinks and like that's.
But that's That's part of it, you know. He's never gonna have those perfect shows. You're gonna have those shit where people try to jip you or you get booed off. I haven't got booed off yet, but
well, your partner, Orad, yeah. I don't see you two getting booed, bro. Like, you're both pretty big dudes. Probably not too many boos. I mean, if they're gonna boo you, they better come deep. Like, right. Tell me about how did you meet Orad? How do you know him?
Murphy High. We went to high school together. And then we just kind of kicked it off and on. And then until I moved into West Covina, he kind of lived right by there. Then that's actually when we started doing music. Once I moved to West Covina, it's kind of when I started doing music too. He was kind of like the first people I started doing music with. And besides that, he would always come over and, like, let's get on the Mac, let's get on the GarageBand, let's try to see if you can make a banger. We have all these, like, GarageBand classics.
Yeah.
But turned into more stuff, like, let's put these in the actual studio, then let's release something. Then we just ended up, after I released a couple tapes, I think he released the tape, and we wound up just make a couple collab albums.
Yeah, I listened to both of those on Spotify. One thing I really appreciate about you guys is that your music is engineered really well. Like, whoever's putting it together, whether it's you two or somebody else, like, the sound is really clean. The levels are really clean. It's very professional. Your videos as well are all shot very professionally.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Is that something that you that's kind of by design for you and him? Like, do you have like a level that you, this is what you got to hit?
Yeah, pretty much. Especially, yeah, for videos, like, I don't want to, especially after all the videos that we had so far, the quality at least has been pretty on point. I don't want to release like a quick little miniature iPhone video that doesn't match up to the rest of the videos. Just, I feel like it just won't work with the portfolio. And music wise, engineering, yeah, thank God we've been able to find a couple good engineers. Because, like, sometimes the engineer is everything. The engineer can sometimes make or break a song.
Yeah. Your beats are all really clean too. Do you have somebody that makes your beats?
I have I do have a couple producers, a couple people. I remember I was you know, remember Cuddy, right? He did Choosy.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did Choosy.
Bay Area.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Choosy.
He got.
Yeah, he's cool as fuck. Your music is feel good music. It's about turn it up. It's about beautiful women. It's about like living the good life. Why do you choose to write about those things?
Man, I don't know. I guess that's like for some reason, that's like the first things that come to mind. I've had some other songs, other things, topics I kind of wanted to talk about. And I probably do maybe lightly on some songs, but for some reason, they just haven't hit there. Like, me and my brother always wanted to make a conscious album. Mm. I don't know if you ever heard a long time ago, I forgot what it was called. I think it was called Two Gods or Two Kings. Me and my brother were kind of rapping. It's kind of a conscious rap. It was pretty dope. But me and him were thinking about doing an album about that, but I just wanted it to be good. Because a lot of you can make a conscious album, but a lot of time, is it fun to listen to? Is it like appealing, you know? Or is it just sound like a kind of a poetic rap?
Yeah.
So make sure it was good. Kind of like how Jay-Z is doing now with his conscious rap. I like how he's doing with that. He's making it kind of like, it's cool to be woke, or it's cool to you know, to have knowledge of stuff.
But we also both know, like, conscious rap is cool, but, you know, Lil Jon Skeet Skeet is getting a million zillion radio plays, you know, like, we know what sells.
I still want to hear Shake That Money and Back That Ass Up when I go out and put. I still want to dance to that and have fun. It makes you feel good for the moment. You're not really thinking about it. And I get it's disrespectful too, because then people say, I think my dad was like, you know, they're going to, you can't, because you're saying bitch on the song, you know, you can't. That's going to, like, they might come and throw that back at you. Like, wait, how are you Muslim, but you're doing this? And I'm like, it's not like no one's ever called a woman the B word. Sometimes the songs are just a thought for a second. So it's like, might be thinking that way for a certain, but doesn't mean that's like how I constantly feel.
Yeah.
It just might come out that way because that's the mood you're in, you know? I just broke up with my girlfriend, man. You know what? All I want to do is fuck bitches. That's it. Okay? I'm trying, you know? You have that moment in the head, like, I don't want to do that. So that's where that thought process can come from.
Yeah, definitely. And there's, I mean, I don't know if you remember that old Chris Rock bit where he's talking about like defending rap music, and he's like, and there's girls in the club and they're singing these songs and they're dancing. Ah, skeet, skeet, skeet. But when he asks them, why are you singing this song? They say, because he ain't talking about me, and they keep dancing. And I was like, that's the reality. If you go to a club, if you're out, if you're having fun, when the people are singing those songs that, you know, you don't internalize, they're not attacking women. They're just like, let's have fun. Let's have a good time, you know?
Exactly.
And if you're getting offended, that might be a problem with you, I think.
Exactly. And that's why I say, I think I even said in a couple of my songs, like there's a difference between a queen and there's a difference between a B word or a bitch.
Who are some of your influences as far as current or old artists?
Influences. A lot of the new artists, like Chris Brown is one of my influences. Definitely Nas, definitely Drake and Wayne, Lil Wayne for sure. As far as influences, I think that's about it. I mean,
that's a Mount Rushmore. That's a pretty good group of influences.
I think that's the most part.
Did you keep listening to Weezy after you started skateboarding and kind of had that whole persona? Did you still like him?
I still liked him. I didn't listen to him as much, I guess you can say. I didn't listen to him as much for sure. But every once in a while, he did come out with like a feature or a came out with a song that I would listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't buy any of those albums, but his features are always hard. I feel like he saves all his heat for the features.
He's always go off. Yeah. He tried to come out of nowhere with the features. His last mixtape was actually pretty cool.
Was it the last time I heard his mixtape was like Truck Fit, which is years ago, I think.
Oh, no. I think it's Sorry for the Way 3, I think.
Oh, Sorry for the Way 3? Yeah. Mixtape Lil Wayne is my favorite Lil Wayne.
Yeah, Mixtape Lil Wayne where he just is going off and just spitting. Man, that's dope.
Yep. All right. Cool, man. So if people want to find your music, where are the best places for them to go?
It's pretty much everywhere. So wherever you listen to music, if you have Apple Music, it's on Apple Music. If you have Spotify, it's on Spotify. If you have Tidal, it's on Tidal, Pandora, pretty much all the internet radios it's on right now.
Cool. And your handle is Mr. AKA?
Mr. AKA. You can Google it. You can search it.
Yeah. I want to make sure they find you, though. So it's Mr. MR.AKA because there's some other ones on YouTube that are trash.
Yeah. There's some other. It's Mr. Dot. AKA. No A dot K dot A. No, there's no dots in between the AKA.
Okay, cool. All right, man. So we're on to the lightning round then. This is where I ask random questions and you have to answer them. All right. Who is your dream producer / collaboration?
Pharrell. 40.
Pharrell.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good answer. Are you really like the Neptunes or what Pharrell is your favorite Pharrell?
I can't, because I like a little bit of all of them, a different name. I just like his work, so just it's hard to say. And 40, man, I like Drake's beats. 40, those beats are hard.
Yeah, that's more than half of his music is the beats, I think.
Yeah, just
the beats and the chorus is like what makes Drake great.
So you hear that beat in the beginning, like, hold on, this already sounded kind of good.
Yeah, even if he's talking about shit that you really don't agree with, or you're like, it's kind of soft, you're just like, still like, feel, you know what I mean? You'll let him do, he can do features with like really hard artists because you're like, okay, like it's, the beat is good. Yeah. All right. If you could speak to any person, alive or dead, who would you speak to?
Alive or dead, shoot. It would most likely be the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's who I really want to speak to.
Peace be upon him. That would be incredible, dude. To be able to do that.
Incredible. I probably could talk to him for days, just ask him questions and everything, and that would be amazing.
Yeah. If you could perform anywhere in the world, where would you want to perform?
Ooh, anywhere?
Anywhere.
Not like city or stadium, or you just mean like a...
It's any city you want in the world. What city would you want to go to and perform in?
Probably like Miami or something.
Yeah, Miami's popping.
Something big, something dope like that.
I feel like your music would do really well in Miami. It's just party, feel good music.
Exactly. That's the whole vibe out there.
Yeah, definitely. All right. If you had to play one video game and your life was on the line, like you would get killed instantly if you lost, What video game are you matching up on?
It doesn't have to be a...
It could be first-person shooter. It could be fighting. But you got to win or you're dead.
No, I'll probably play... Huh. I can't die once?
Nope. It's this one game is life or death.
shoot. What would I play?
You could play Halo. You could play NBA 2K. You could play Street Fighter. You could play whatever you want.
Me, I'm probably gonna play an RPG game. I'm probably gonna, you know, I'm gonna throw Skyrim in.
Skyrim? Oh, Skyrim's really fun.
I throw Skyrim in.
Cool. All right. Skyrim it is. All right, last question. This is the big one. The aliens land again and they're like, you need to give us one snack. And if this snack is not the greatest snack we've ever had, we're gonna kill everybody you love. What snack do you give them?
The snack that I give them. They're going to love the snack no matter what.
They have to. You have to give them the best snack on earth.
Best snack on earth. No, I'll probably give them one of my mom's chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, coming with the home stuff.
It was fire. They're going to be like, hold on, this is a snack?
we're taking Samir and his family with us. You guys, right. We'll blow up the earth. Let's bring in mama's cookies.
Go ahead and ensure our survival.
That's cool, man. All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say to the people before we get out of here?
Check your boy out, Mr. AKA. That's it, man.
All right. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate you, bro.
Peace.